The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his ear, on his eyes, and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and he washed, and he came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said it is, but others said, "No, he just looks like him." But he said, "I am he." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see, and he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." And they answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us." And they threw him out. When Jesus heard this, he found him and he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one who is speaking with you is he." And he said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Let me spend a few moments speaking about the teaching of this gospel, which comes from the book of John. The story of the blind man born blind is found only in the gospel of John. And as we have discussed many times, in the gospel of John, he does not speak about miracles. John speaks about signs, and therefore, the miraculous events attached to Jesus in the Gospel of John are meant to point to something else. And there are seven signs in the Gospel of John. The first one, you will remember, was a wedding feast at Cana in chapter 2. And then in chapter 4 and 5, he heals people. And then after that, chapter 6, he feeds the multitude, calms the waters. And then the sixth sign is today's gospel in chapter 9 in John. The seventh, last, and greatest sign will be next Sunday in our reading, which will be the raising of Lazarus. So we have these seven signs, and they're meant to teach us to say something special beyond the story, something beyond there. So let me look at this. I'd like to say this homily in three parts. First, some exegesis, some background to understand the Word of God. And then maybe the teaching of it, and then how it applies to us. So we'll look at the background here. The man born blind is one of the characters appearing in this event. Then you have the Pharisees. And then you have the parents who are fearful. The Pharisee who was arrogant and legalistic and judgmental. They're suspicious. And then you have the man himself who was born blind and now can see. And then you have Jesus. These are the characters that appear in this event in the Gospel of John. Keep in mind, If you read the longer text of this gospel, you will see that the man who was born blind grows in insight. When he sees first, he doesn't see entirely. But watch what happens to him in his faith. He's growing in faith. They say, "Who is this man who gave you your sight?" And he said, "He's a man named Jesus." And then the next time he said, "He is a prophet." And then the third time when he encounters Jesus, he says, "I do believe you are the Messiah, you are the Christ." This is meant to tell us how he grows in faith. And in growing in faith, he grows in seeing, in sight. Raymond Brown says, "This story is about the triumph of light over darkness." It's about seeing. The story begins with Jesus sees the man. Others don't see that, but he sees the man who is born blind. So it's about seeing. So let me look at this and wonder what the teaching of this is. In the first chapter of Mark's gospel, in verse 14, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The first statement of Jesus, the proclamation of his presence as Messiah. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The Greek word for repent is metanoia, and repent is not a good translation. It's far more complex and far deeper than just repenting. So let me look at this word metanoia and its companion word paranoia. These come from the Greek. In Greek, the word nous means mind. Metanoia. Meta means above or beyond. So metanoia means you have a great mind. You enlarge your mind. When you're called to metanoia, to repent, it means you embrace a bigger vision of life. You understand life in a new way. You see in a new way. Paranous in Greek, para means beside. So it's a small mind. And move from paranoia to metanoia is the call of the gospel. Paranoia, we have a saying, "I'm beside myself. I'm beside myself in anger. I'm beside myself in fear. I am beside myself." That's paranoia. Paranoia is suspicious. Paranoia is controlling. Paranoia is demanding. It's imposing. Paranoia is self-centered. Paranoia is a disturbed condition. That's paranoia, the small mind. And Jesus speaks about the great mind, metanoia, change. Move into a new space. Move into a place, a mind that forgives, that heals, that cares, a mind that shares. That's what repentance means when you read the Greek here, metanoia. So what does this mean to us? If you read chapter 19 in the Gospel of Luke, you'll find a good example of the movement from paranoia, the small mind, into metanoia, the great mind. In there, in chapter 19, in the Gospel of Luke, the story is told about Zacchaeus. We are told Zacchaeus is a tax collector in Jericho, and he's a wealthy man. Now, tax collectors were despised because they were collecting taxes from their own people for an occupying Roman government. But he was a rich man. He was a greedy man. He was small. It says he was small in stature, but that means more than just being short. It means he had a small heart. He was greedy, he was selfish, he was self-interested, he was a wealthy man who didn't care about others. He is so small that says he can't see Jesus, so he climbs a sycamore tree. Now, some of you pilgrims who have been to Jericho, it's a town in the West Bank, 800 feet below sea level, the lowest city in the world, 15 miles from Jerusalem. And you will remember when we passed through Jericho, there's a sycamore tree right in the middle of the town. It's not the same tree as spoken about in the gospel, but it gives you a little idea of what a sycamore tree looks like in the time of Jesus and in this story. So Zacchaeus, this man who is small, climbs the sycamore to see Jesus. And Jesus comes upon him and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to eat at your house tonight." And Zacchaeus comes down and Jesus goes to his house for a meal. And the people are resentful because Jesus would eat with the sinner. But Zacchaeus stands up and he says, "Lord, I am going to go through metanoia. I am going to repent. I give half of everything I have to the poor, and if I have defrauded anybody, I'll pay them back fourfold." And Zacchaeus moves from the small mind into the great mind. He becomes the person of conversion that Jesus speaks about when he says, "Repent and believe." That's an example of what's meant in this gospel about repentance, about seeing in a new way. Now, what does this mean to us? That's the teaching. How does this affect us? Well, in my life, I can remember times when I was small. I felt small. I was hard on somebody. I offended somebody. Perhaps I was selfish. And I felt small. I don't know if that ever happened to you. You just feel small. You feel divided. You feel somewhat diminished. Maybe you won the argument, but you lost. It was a Pyrrhic victory. You might have gotten your way, but then you feel small. Perhaps you cheated somebody. Perhaps you took advantage of somebody. You abuse somebody in some way, and you feel small. And then you are called to metanoia. So you go and you apologize, or you go to confession. And then the conversion happens. You enter into the metanoia, the great mind. You move from the small mind into the great mind, from the small heart into the great heart. That's metanoia. That's what it means to us, wherever you are. It means that the call of Jesus Christ is to move from the small heart, from the small mind, into the great mind. That's the teaching of Zacchaeus in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. So how do we take this today and somehow allow it to affect us? What do we do? I mean, how do we respond to this? We can respond by asking for forgiveness. We can respond by doing a kindness for somebody. There are many ways in which we can enter into the great mind, the great heart, which is the call of the gospel. But it's a time of tension. With the virus, it's a time of fear, anxiety. Sometimes it's a time of confusion. It's a time when we change our lifestyle. And it's also a time when we are responsible to the community at large to exercise good diligence and to follow all the good counsels we're getting about washing your hands and staying apart and staying at home as much as you can. Follow all these counsels, but there's more to it. That still doesn't take away the disturbance inside of us, the fear we have inside of us, the confusion, the anxiety for the future. We need a higher power. You need all the powers the world can give us, but then to have a peaceful spirit, to be peaceful inside, we need a higher power. We need a prayer that somehow gives us peace in our spirits. So I'd like to suggest a manner of prayer which some of you might find helpful. And this is centering prayer. And here's what I'd like to ask you to consider. Take a moment by yourself in a place of silence. Find a chair, sit in the chair. Don't get a real soft chair because you'll fall asleep. Okay, so get a firm chair and you sit. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath a second time. Perhaps a third time, take a deep breath. Let your hands fall. Feel, close your eyes. You are in the presence of God. Feel the presence of God. Let your hands fall softly. Feel your muscles relaxing. Feel the tension leaving your back. The muscles in your neck and the muscles in your back are relaxed. Feel the peace of the moment and pray. Breathe in and breathe out. Breathe in. Jesus, let me see. Breathe in, Jesus. Breathe out, let me see. Jesus, let me see. Feel the peace of Christ. Feel the reassurance that you're in the hands of a God who loves you. Feel the strength of the Holy Spirit within you. Be reassured. Let your spirit be peaceful. God is with you. Discover the presence of God in your life. Let your soul be peaceful. You might try this for just 5 minutes. If it's meaningful for you, then you can extend the time a little bit, but it's an exercise in prayer that lets you claim the grace of metanoia, closer to Jesus. Allow the peace of Jesus Christ. Set aside all the thoughts you have in your life and let the peace of Christ reassure you, strengthen you, give you an inner peace which the world cannot give you. Metanoia, the great mind and the great heart.